delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Well, the small town of Williamston has found itself in the middle of a firestorm over a proposed transgender nonconforming policy put forth by the school board for the school district. The draft proposal unveiled with almost no fanfare, in fact, almost, you know, kind of behind the curtain, but caught the attention of some parents who have mobilized against the plan. Among the most polarizing issues in the draft proposal is specific language that parents would not be included with information about their own children transitioning, if you will, while at school. Now, this is a policy for K through 12 kids, and it's happening in all over the state. Williamson just happens to be the focal point of this happening now. A meeting has been set for 7 o'clock tonight. The Great Lakes Justice Center will be there to answer people's questions. It's a nonprofit legal group that says the proposed policy violates state law, would subject the district and individual board members to legal action possibly and litigation possibly, depending on how they go forward. Now, we've already learned that the school board has changed. They were going to vote on this coming Monday. We're going to vote on this policy that has almost no parental input so far to the board. But we have been told now that the school board has changed the agenda for this coming Monday to discuss this proposed policy. David Coleman joining me now, senior counsel from the Great Lakes Justice Center. David, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be here.
It's interesting because I've read a lot of social media posts, and of course, you and your organization have already become a target for those that, you know, support this plan. You have no basis. You're a right-wing radical and all sorts of other things because you have pointed out the deficiencies in the proposal and that it clearly violates state law. Lay that out for us again. When it comes to not informing the parents, that's not even legal under state law in Michigan, from what I understand.
Right. The public school code says that parents have the natural fundamental right to raise and educate their children, and the schools are supposed to cooperate with the parents in doing that. It's right in the state school code. And so the claim that this federal law, FERPA, you know, with student privacy rights and things, says that parents can be cut out of the loop and don't have to be notified is ridiculous. FERPA does not say that.
And what is FERPA?
That's the hold on. Opposite. It says the opposite.
What is FERPA? I've seen that thrown around quite a bit. Can you tell the listeners what that means and why it matters?
Well, FERPA is the Privacy Act that was passed at the federal level. Educational rights for parents, and I don't remember the exact.
Right. I got you.
Yeah, but what it does is it sets out the rights of students and parents to have privacy. That's the purpose of it, is to have privacy from other people getting information. But it does not cut out parents. Now, the only thing in the law that does change that is when a student turns 18, because they're considered to be an adult. And so for those last few months, if an 18-year-old is still in high school, the parents don't have the right to information unless the student says so. But that's because the student's an adult. Any time prior to that, the parents absolutely have the right to be informed of everything going on with their children.
Now, those on the other side, and like I said, I've had a fair amount of time reading social media on this topic, and those on the other side say this is about protecting students that might face abuse if they went home and told their parents they were transitioning, you know, could face, you know, danger, mortal danger in some cases, they pretend. And I wonder, you know, okay, if the student is in danger for that, then maybe we have a different solution. But I can appreciate if a student is in danger, you know, life or limb and that sort of thing. But do you need to make a policy change across an entire district or an entire state when there's no legal foundation for it?
No, of course not. And look, there are child abuse laws on the books right now that protect children. If somebody is harming their child or abusing them or doing anything like that, teachers, school administrators are mandatory reporters. So they would have to report that sort of thing.
Yeah, they have an affirmative duty, correct? I mean, they have to report.
Absolutely, and they should. I mean, if somebody is mistreating their children.
Or even if they think somebody's being mistreated, potentially, I think they're required. Even if they think, well, maybe, I'm not sure, but they have a requirement ethically, morally, and legally to report, correct?
Absolutely, that is correct.
So on the other side of that, though, I see parents saying that what they don't like about the non-reporting part is, where does it go next? If you don't have to report about this, then what's the next thing that they don't have to tell parents about? What, Johnny came to school and he was smoking some recreational marijuana and that's okay, we won't tell the parents? I mean, at what point, and they're valid points, Does that sort of a policy end, or does it continue to go?
Right. It would be up to each individual school board as to what they would or would not tell the parents, and that's a slippery slope, that's for sure.
Anyhow, so here's the other problem. You in a district like, my understanding, and I don't know the specifics of their financials, but Williamson does not have a lot of extra money. It's a district that's planning to make, you know, changes to restrooms and, you know, physical changes to the buildings and so forth to accommodate such a plan. It would seem it would require that. Plus, if they get into some sort of a legal snag, because if they go through with something like this, doesn't it open up the school district and the members of the school board themselves to lawsuits? I mean, parents could file lawsuits. The Great Lakes Justice Center could file, you know, a claim against what they're doing, right? I mean, wouldn't that create a whole Pandora's box of legal action?
Well, of course. Again, the school board should tread carefully here. Look, everybody understands that we all want children to be treated with kindness and respect and all of that, and everybody wants that. But there are laws on the books for bullying and those sorts of things to handle those situations. We do not think that it's a loving, compassionate thing to affirm what is essentially a disorder or confused thinking. I mean, think of it like this, Steve. Somebody has anorexia nervosa, or somebody has body dysmorphic disorder where they think they're ugly and they aren't, or body integrity identity disorder where they think that they're a person trapped into a body even though they're disabled, but their body's fine. They think they're disabled. Do you treat these people with, oh, we affirm you and you're okay and, you know, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do?
Here's your wheelchair, and you can
try to get help for the person. Right. So why are we treating this confused thinking or disorder any other way? The studies show up to 95% of kids who get proper treatment will be aligned with their biological sex by the time they're through their teenage years.
All right, we got to leave it right there. Leave it there, because this is a big conversation. It's going to continue tonight at St. Mary's Catholic School in Williamston. That meeting is at 7 o'clock, and David, you'll be on hand there with William Wagner and some other members of the Great Lakes Justice Center to answer questions about the legality and where it goes. I think a lot of folks are going to turn out for that. Again, you can find out more at greatlakesjc.org, greatlakesjc.org. David, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on. Bye-bye.